Graham and Judith, come on and take us forward from here and welcome.
Hello.
We didn't need the practice. When you've been married as long as us, it just comes naturally.
Oh, well, we hope.
We're tag teaming this morning, and there's going to be four speakers. We're two of them, and the other two will be a surprise. Well, not really, because you've read the announcements, hopefully, yeah. But we'll meet shortly. Good. So Chuck's already shown the announcement for these coming four Wednesdays. Poster's been around. I don't know if you've noticed, they've changed three times since they went up. So if you haven't been reading them, you haven't been keeping up with the details, and have been in the Monday announcement. So hopefully this isn't new to you. Although I was talking to someone this week and I said, "You coming on Wednesday?" I said, "Well, what's Wednesday?" Anyway, renovate. And what we want to do this morning is introduce a little bit more. This is really the first session of what's normally nine teaching sessions, and it's really an introduction. So we thought if we do that today, you get a feel for what the videos are like, and it'll give you a reason to decide to be part of what's happening here and why it's going. Your renovation is one of those interesting things. How many people have done a renovation in their house? You know, pretty much everyone renovates at some point in time. And even the newlyweds will get there at some point. And when we bought our house just over 31 years ago, now out near Carlton Place, we said, "Oh, okay." We felt the Lord was taking us there, and we said, "Okay, we're buying." And Judith had one condition: we fix the kitchen and the bathroom. Actually, two conditions. Well, the bathroom took 20 years, and the kitchen took 30 years. But we got there. Just a couple of years ago, we did a major renovation in our house. And it was livable. We were warm. We were dry. We ate there. We slept there. There was nothing particularly wrong with the house. It was just stuck back in the 1980s. And
60s in some areas of it.
1960s, yeah. Older house. So we went through this process of renovating. We took the old and we worked on it, and we had skilled people come and help us. You know, Judith learned a long time ago, and so did I, that you don't ask me to do it. Send me to work so we can pay someone that can do it properly. You know, that's the way we renovate.
And there was a huge component of it, of getting rid of yuck and stuff. So there was the stuff in the house that had accumulated, but there was the stuff in the walls. So when those walls came down, so the walls themselves were pretty horrible, and then the insulation behind it. Even these big hefty renovating guys who do this all the time, we were in the basement, so we kept hearing, "Oh, yuck," and "Oh, what is that?" And it was just because they kept finding lots and lots and lots of dead
ladybugs.
They were freaked out by it, but we're used to it, so.
And lots of asbestos, old houses.
Oh, yeah, lots of asbestos. We had asbestos everything.
So there was a renovation process where to go.
And it was so good to see all that yuck go out the door.
And now we live in a place that's fresh and new and
safe.
We're enjoying that process and what we went through. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. We come to the Lord maybe 30 years, maybe more ago for some of us, and the Lord does a marvelous work in us. But then we get to a point in time, and we're going through life, and we realize, I need to renovate some areas. I need to fix some yuck that's still in my life. I don't know what it's there for. We're going to kind of touch on that, and that's where we're going today. So as we do, let's just start with a conclusion.
This is Graham. This is his modus operandi.
It's actually called the bluff. If anyone's done presentations, you should always start with the bluff, the bottom line up front. Keeps you accountable. Anybody that's listening at the end can say you never did what you said you were going to do. So this is what we're going to do today. Renovate. You can improve your relationship with God. I can improve my relationship with God. And I have been renovating. Judith's been renovating. And what we've learned, mainly through the LL ministry. Judith's been on the ministry team there for 10 years now, just over 10 years. And what she's learned and experienced is all encapsulated in these next four Wednesdays. It's not us, it's the LL people teaching it.
And it's foundational.
Anyone here perfect? So I thought I saw a few. Am I the only one? We're perfect in one way, but we've got a long way to go in many ways, and we can improve our relationship. Anyone want to improve their relationship with God?
Yes.
All right. So perhaps you're feeling stuck. You want to grow spiritually, but how do you get that head knowledge? I've read the book, but how do I get it to my heart? And many of us in the house groups have just finished doing the Tozer book. Judith's going to talk a bit more about that as we go through as well. We were reading things and talking about things that are fantastic, but how do I get that in my heart? How do I get that in my life? And that's one of the things. I feel a blockage. And maybe you're okay with that. You've dealt with it. The Lord has taken you through a journey, and that's good, and that's fantastic. But the Lord also wants you to help other people. You might know someone that's stuck. You might know someone. And it's important that we learn. We can be empowered by the Holy Spirit by learning these things. We all need to renovate, either for ourselves or to help other people. And knowing some of these basic things that we'll introduce this morning, go through in the next four Wednesdays, will be empowering.
Amen.
I promise Amen. You that. If it's not, you can hold my payback.
Yeah.
So Jude's going to take us through some stuff. I'll sit.
So yeah, so Graham did land on some of the points that I was going to pick up on, that this has come out of the two home groups in the church have been looking at the Tozer book for, oh gosh, I think it's about 12. And it's, what's next? What do we do with that? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? And I know I was confronted right up front. I mean, I was reading the preface, and I'll get to that in a minute. And I was confronted with some questions that it raised up in my heart. And I want to ask you some questions, but I don't want you to show up your hands, okay? This is between you and the Lord. But I do want you to ask yourself, those of you who did read The Pursuit of God, were you confronted in your minds with the fact that you would say, yes, this is good, but I'm not there yet? Or, I don't know God in that really deep way that Tozer is talking about. Maybe you sometimes think in your mind, well, I do sometimes get this glorious assurance, sits really deep in my heart, and I know that I know the Lord. And then other times there's things that the Lord does, but they seem to bounce out again. And you kind of get into this repetitive place where, yes, the Lord blesses and it's wonderful, and then we go down the road and it's like, oh, but now I'm in the yuck again, or I'm in the dark place, or I'm stuck. Some of us might be feeling that we've come to a plateau in our Christian growth, and we don't seem to be able to make any more headway. And how about that some of us struggle with reading the Bible and retaining what we've read? And getting those kingdom truths that we read them, we know them, like we know stuff in our head, but we've got a really hard time getting it to move from this 18 inches from up here to down here into our spirit, into our soul, into the depths of our being. And I can say yes to all of these areas in my life, so I'm not saying I've got it made, okay? I'm speaking from the, I need this in my life. This is one of the challenging verses, and it was in the preface of Tozer. And he said, it's a solemn thing and no small scandal in the kingdom to see God's children starving while actually seated at the Father's table. That is a very sobering thought. And yet I thought, yes, there's a lot of truth in that. And we need to know that truth and be aware that we can be in the Father's presence fully, and yet there can be things that are blocking us and preventing us from taking that deep, deep nourishment, that beautiful provision that God has given to us. So what we want to ask this question this morning, why are some of God's children sitting at his table and starving? Well, it could be that there's a barrier or a gap that prevents us from feasting at this table. Maybe some of us, maybe all of us, recognize that sometimes we get a gap in our lives. The place, we want to know that Jesus has got more for us, and we all know this, than what we're currently living in. But sometimes the gap from where we are now to the fullness of life in Jesus, that he promises to us, all those, you know, peace and joy and patience and beautiful, beautiful provision, the gap seems just too big. So as we've been praying as an eldership team, we've really had the feeling that the Lord wants to empower us and teach us and encourage us and help us to learn how to get from here where we are today and right now to there, and that is the kingdom of God. And I'm going to open that slide up later, but I just want you to bear that in mind. This whole thing to do with the next 4 weeks is a journey from getting from where we are now to the place of deeper promise and greater security and permanence in God's kingdom. I want to share another Tozer quote, because he's really good. I like him. It's not mere words that nourish the soul, but God himself. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they are not the better for having heard the truth. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men into an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God. And that's what we all long and crave for. That they may enter into him, that they may delight in his presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God himself in the core and center of their hearts. So here we are back at our gap. Now some of us, especially those of us who are older, may remember this diagram, because back in the day when tracks used to be a thing, this was one of the ones that was really helpful to explain salvation. Because on this side is Satan's realm, you know, where we are living in our sinful state. This side being the Lord God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this gap is just so big and so deep that we as human beings, we can't get across that. And we learned and we know that Jesus, the cross, fits really nicely into that gap. And Jesus is the way we get our salvation. So I'm using it today, and I'm using it in a slightly different way, because I'm making the assumption that on this side, we're already in the kingdom, but we're just walking in some struggling. And okay, so once we're born again or saved by the incredible and miraculous work of our Lord Jesus, we are made new in the Holy Spirit and brought into the family of God. We're safe, we're secure, God's got us, and he's not going to let us go. And we live with all the rights and privileges of now being children of the Most High God. We come out of the place where we used to live, the place where Satan has rule and reign over us, because we were living in his kingdom as slaves to sin. So the devil's domain, or this world that we inhabit, so this world where we're all living today, looks kind of like this. Now see if there's anything on that list that you identify as going on. So the kingdom of evil looks like death and fear and shame, guilt, pain, suffering, anger, depression, lies, rejection, abandonment, darkness, poverty. And I could go on and on and on, but you don't need me to do that, because you know what the enemy's world and his rule looks like in your lives. However, the kingdom of God looks like this. He brings life, love, light, joy, peace, hope, healing, abundance, provision, acceptance, belonging, fruitfulness, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and so many more that I can't list them all, because, you know, if we had all the ink in all of the oceans and all the trees were pages, we wouldn't have enough to describe the goodness, the beauty, the bounteousness of the kingdom of God. So if you're like me, and this, what I'm sharing with you this morning, for me, this was key to my healing journey, because I hadn't heard this before, and I didn't know why I was living a Christian life. I'd been a Christian for a long, long time. I am a worship leader. I was standing up in front proclaiming the beauty and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, a lot of these things were still having power in my life. And I was finding it like, yes, these were all working too. Like God was doing this amazing thing, but like, why was I still struggling with depression? Why was I still struggling with rejection? Why was abandonment such a label that I seemed to wear the whole time? And so this slide really, really helped, because here's our beautiful cross. What Jesus has done for us, he's made that bridge. There's power in the cross. There's power in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one, he's the only one that can get me from being over here into being over here. But you know what? The interesting thing is, it's a journey. And I didn't know that. I was brought up in the school that once you're saved, it's a done deal and everything's great and you're going to be happy and you're going to be prosperous and you're not going to ever be depressed anymore. And it wasn't my reality. And I didn't know why it wasn't reality. And what happens when you struggle in these things? You blame yourself. But it's not ourselves we need to blame. It's the enemy. Who is the enemy? And I love that Chuck started out this morning with telling us all, reminding us that the enemy hates us. There is nothing that we do that he likes. He is totally not for us. He is always going to be lying to us and shouting at us and telling us how bad and awful we are. And that is the voice that we so often hear, the voice of condemnation. So I saw this beautiful slide that it's all about Jesus and what he's done on the cross. And through his death and resurrection, God the Father is working in us by the Holy Spirit these beautiful things. Now, you probably can't see them at the back of the room. I'm sorry about that. But that list is, he's working atonement, so making us right with Jesus, Jesus making us right with God the Father. He gives us salvation. Of course, we know that. We have our healing in him and through him by the cross and by his blood. We see Satan defeated. We see abundance. We see freedom and many, many more things. But notice they're on the cross with arrows pointing onto to the kingdom of God, because this is an ongoing work that Jesus does. Yes, it's once and for all that we're born again, but this work of being made holy, of being what we call sanctified, is ongoing and continual. And so he's continually moving us from here to here through what Jesus does and what we ask Jesus to do in us and what we give him access to. Because there's a lot to do with surrender and being willing to allow the Lord to bring truth to our innermost parts. Because sometimes the things, the enemy's got such a tight grip on them that we don't want to, or we can't look into those places, because they get wrapped up in things like shame and guilt and no one will ever like me if I tell them how I really am, which is totally a lie. And so we have to do, we do need to recognize that Satan will hold on to whatever he can hold on to. But praise God, Jesus brings deliverance. It's one of his gifts. And he brings freedom into our lives as we surrender to him. So as I said, the journey from the devil's domain into the kingdom of God, we sometimes call it sanctification. And the line is a moving line. It doesn't stop. It's a moving line. Sometimes we go a little bit backwards, but it's okay, because the general walk is forwards into our being made holy. We are encouraged in the scriptures always to push forward in our relationship, in the depth of our understanding of how we know Jesus and what we let him into. Interesting aside, this is a freebie. Jesus is not surprised by anything that's going on in your life. He's not surprised by anything going on in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your will, or your emotions. He knows us intimately. And so those places that we think, all that anger that I've got in there, that we think, I'm just keeping that really quiet. The Lord already knows it. So, when you confess it to him, it's actually fine because he says, okay, good. Now we've got there. Let's deal with it. And that's so beautiful because the dealing with it is actually very beautifully easy because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that does that, you see. The healing is all through Jesus. It's not through us. It's through what we bring to him and allow him to have access to. So Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And in 2 Corinthians, we read about this incredible transformational work in our lives by the Holy Spirit, because it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So that's what's being held out on a banqueting platter for us all. And I'm going to hand over to Graham, because he's now going to go a little bit deeper with what we're going to be doing on Wednesdays, a lot of which is encompassed in what was up on the screen there.
All right, thanks. That was great. So let's meet our other two speakers. So if you get the video ready, that'd be great. You're going like this. This is Kent and Karen up here. Karen on the left, obviously, Kent on the right. You like their style. They kind of chat together, but they're teaching you. And we'll go through this. As I say, this is the first video in the series, and it'll introduce a little bit about LL, but also about some of what Judith's been saying, but where they're going to take us over this course. So let's play that, please.
Hello. Yes and amen to all that Kent and Karen said in that introduction. Actually, it's a very good introduction because it does explain a lot of where we come from and where our hearts are at. And I've been working with them for 10 years. I'm on the extended prayer team. Great, great privilege to be a part of that. But when I was in my late 30s was when people who had been trained through LL Ministries met with me, because I was stuck. I kept going around and around and around these mountains. I couldn't get over them. I couldn't get up them. I just kept going around. And it was such a frustrating, depressing, and sad, sad place. And I didn't go willingly. I was fearful. I'll tell you that. I thought that it was going to be very ugly because, you know, when all my stuff that I'd kept very well hidden came out, people were going to not like me and they were going to judge me. And, there was a whole lot of stuff that the enemy said. But it was so beautiful because we just walked through going over who I am, who Jesus says I am, who he's formed me to be. And that freedom started to come, and I'm still walking in that journey. I am not wonderfully put together and great yet. But Jesus and I are on a great journey, and so there's such a great, great deal of hope. And remember, guys, that it's a two-pronged thing. There's going to be stuff that comes up that you need to bring to the cross, bring to the Lord Jesus, but also you're going to be equipped and have greater understanding and knowledge than you have now, so that when you meet people, because this was my problem, I kept meeting people who I saw had a hole in the heart and I didn't know how to help them. I wanted to pray, but I didn't know how to pray powerfully and effectively. And now I know. And so this is a great, great, great foundational thing. I truly believe that it's a gift to us. Like, I really do. And we, as an eldership team, we really feel that the Holy Spirit is doing this, is saying, this is the hour, guys. I'm on the move. I'm doing something. We are living in the last days. If you don't know that, you need to know that. The time is getting very, very short. And so as people come in our doors, and as we meet people as we go out onto the mission field, we need to know how to pray for them effectively and not just pat on the head, bless you prayers. Because, wow, I mean, yes, a blessing is good, but a freedom deliverance prayer is way better. I'm going to shut up now. I get passionate about these things.
She does. It's good. It's good. Yeah. So what? Yeah, we've lived the journey together, and I've certainly seen the changes in Judith's life, and I've changed because of what she's shared with me and what I hear through the ministry. I'm not fully involved in the same way, but this is what the Lord has called Judith into, and it's been great. But so what? This is all good stuff. And do you like meeting Kent and Karen? They're a great couple. They're going to come here every Wednesday through a video, and maybe one time you'll have a chance to go and visit them in their home. I know some of you have. So what? Well, we're going to take this journey together as a church, and we'll watch two videos each Wednesday. That was a little shorter. Each video is about 20 minutes. They're not difficult to watch. They're well explained, and they go through things. And as Chuck already mentioned, at about 5:45, we'll gather here. Those that want to share a meal together, we know a lot of people like just coming and having that family time and sharing a meal. Bring a crock pot, bring some dessert, bring some vegetables, and we'll put it out and share a meal together. If you're working or you don't want to do that bit, that's fine. Be here between 6:20, 6:30, because that's when we'll start transitioning into the main thing for the evening and the video. So the videos will probably be started by 6:30. You know, don't miss that if you're coming a little later. Do either. And then we'll watch a video. We'll have a break for about 15 minutes. We'll be sitting around tables, and the group around the table will just talk a little bit. There are handouts and they'll ask questions, and we'll just have 15 minutes reflecting on what we've just heard. So it's not boom, boom. Trouble is, YouTube and media these days, you watch this, you watch this, you watch this, and you don't have time to take it in and apply it. So we'll have that short time. Then we'll have a bit of a break. Then we'll watch the second video of the evening and repeat. We'll have another 15 minutes sharing together. And the plan is to be all done by 8 o'clock to allow those with younger children to be here and get home in good time. You're welcome to stick around. There will be cleanup, of course, afterwards that needs to be done. And we know some people just love to be here, might lock up on the way out. And that's good. That'll be each Wednesday in June. So it's like the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. There is childcare. We're some younger families. We love the kids. We love seeing them running around. And we want the parents to be able to take it in without having to worry about the children. So we have arranged somebody to come in. It's Caria, Tito's daughters. You will have seen her around at different times when the family's been here, and she's going to help out with doing something with the children, but it'll be good. She's a wonderful person and loves Jesus. Yeah, so if you know people, it's not limited to house groups. It's not limited to WCC. We want to make this available for anyone. If you know anyone that would benefit from learning either for their own journey and freedom or learning how to help others or recognize others that need help, then invite them along. We've got plenty of them. If they want to come for a meal, invite them, bring enough for them as well, or invite them to bring some food and come and join us. And we'll just see what happens. Please try and make that effort. Judith just said it very well, that we're in a stage, certainly in this church, but generally speaking, where things are getting serious. It has been for a while, but things are getting very serious with the church and the world. And we need to be ramping up our game. And God is preparing his church. In the end, he will use those that are ready. We all know about the parable of the 10 wise virgins. The church is asleep. They're all asleep in that parable. But when they woke up, were they ready? When the rubber hit the road, were they ready? And it's the same with us. Are we preparing? Are we getting the oil for our lamps right now? And this is one of those things that we really believe is part of that preparation. And we want everyone here to be part of it. I'll emphasize everyone, but I will realize there's practical things and life and all that. And Judith and I are going to be away one of the weeks, so sorry about that. But it happens. Try and get here for everyone. Get as many as you can. If you can't, encourage others to be here. I'll go around and invite you all personally afterwards when we're having coffee just to get you there. But anyway, enough on that. So back to our conclusion. Hey, renovate. You can improve your relationship with God. And if you think you're already perfect, then sorry, we can't help you. But you can improve your relationship. I can. Judith can. We have been. We are doing. You are. And this is another way of looking at what can God do in my life to improve my kingdom understanding, my kingdom walk, my kingdom success, to use a word. And these are things we all need. We all need this renovate, either for myself or to help others. And it's been amazing as we've learned more and more about this healing journey that people need to go through, that the things that block us, there's barriers in our lives. We read something, we hear something, that's fantastic. I agree with that, that scripture's right. I like that teaching, that was a great teaching. Send out the YouTube video to everybody. But it's still here. Somehow I've got to start bringing it to my heart and apply it. But what stops it? What stops it? And there's lots of different things. And Judith went through it on that slide. Some of the things that stop it coming down are these things that we cannot deal with ourselves. I'll get over it. It's what you think counts. Tell yourself it's going to be okay. Those don't work when we're fighting in the spiritual realm. We need to understand the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. We need to understand his salvation in our lives. We need to understand that he wants to do it in us and then come and say, Lord, take me through this. Deliver me. Release the captives. Set the prisoners free. Isaiah 61. Give sight to the blind. Only Jesus can do that. And there's no guarantee that's what's going to happen for you on these Wednesday nights, but you'll be one step closer. I think God will deliver people. I think he will set people free as we come here together. He wants to do it. So if we're ready and willing, he will do that. So that's what he's doing. And it will be empowering. I promise you, it will be empowering. I want to pray. I had a thought a little earlier. While we're singing the last song and worshiping, just giving thanks to the Lord, reflect on what he's saying to you now. And we don't do this very often, but if you want to get serious to the Lord and you say, Lord, yeah, I understand you have something better for me. I understand you want to take me more into your kingdom. Just come and take a step and come and stand at the front. But just come and stand at the front and say, Lord, this is me. I'm serious about where you're taking us. I'm serious about the preparation you're doing in my life and in this church. I want you to take me on a journey, and I'm willing to come with you. So if you can do that, come and stand at the front and talk to the Lord about it. Even if you don't think you can make Wednesdays, start the journey. If you have any other questions, anything you want to know about, you can talk to Judith or me afterwards, and we'll help you out. Just send an email throughout the week. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you. There's pictures in Scripture. You know, when Lazarus came out of the tomb from death to life, he wasn't left in the grave clothes. So Jesus said to his friends, unwrap him, clean him up, dress him. When the prodigal son came back from the pigsty, he wasn't left smelling of pigs and dirty. But the father said, put a robe on him, clean him up, let's celebrate. And Jesus is still doing that in our lives today. We thank you, Jesus, that you are doing that. You say to each one of us, you've now come into my kingdom, but come here, I want to clean you up. I want to take off the old clothes, the grave clothes, the things of the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the world. I want to take those off you, and I want to put on new things. You've got to let me do it. Jesus, I thank you that you have that compassion for each one of us, that you won't leave us where we were. You're pursuing us as we pursue you. And Lord, I pray that over this coming month, each and every one of us here will take that step closer into you, will feel you releasing us from the captivities and the prisons and the things that hold us back, whether it's depression, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, those things that pull us down, Lord, I pray that you would release them from us. You would take them out of our lives that we might be more in your kingdom. We would live in that place of love and of faith and of hope and of joy. I thank you, Lord, that's the journey you have each of your children on. And we can walk with you and make it quick, or we can hold back and hinder you. Lord, we want to be quick. We want to be with you. So bless us, I pray, this morning, Lord, as we take these steps and we move into you, Lord God. I pray that you would build your church. I pray that you would strengthen every one of us so that we can go out and help the world. We can take the message of Jesus to those that are hurting. We can take the glory and the hope of our Messiah to those that never heard. Pray, Lord God, that you would do that today. Thank you, Lord, that in some mysterious way you need us in your kingdom as much as we need you in our salvation. So come, Lord, as we sing your praises and we worship you now, Lord, we stand and we make that commitment to walk this journey with you. Hallelujah. Thank you.